family, and also welcome all of our guests who have come out. I want to thank those of you who are parents or grandparents of kids who were in Vacation Bible School this week. You brought them out each night all week, and we appreciate it. And so this is our chance to celebrate with you and share with you what we've been doing all week. We're pretty excited about that. I don't have a lot of announcements this morning, but I do want to start out with this. And that is, if you are a child that attended Vacation Bible School, we want to invite you to come down and sit in the first couple of rows here, the rows that are taped off, because we're going to need you up here for the singing portion of the play when we get there. So if you are one of the VBS kids, we want to invite you to come forward and join us up here. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and then we are going to begin with some worship songs for God. So if you would, please join me in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for bringing us together this morning. I want to thank you for all the kids that we had throughout the week and those that were able to come back and join us this morning. I want to pray as we get ready to start out the service this morning that your hand would be over everything that we do, whether it's the singing here at the beginning as we're worshiping you, the message that's given later, or the kids and all the hard work that they put into the play. I just want to pray, Lord, that you would be honored in all that we do today. More than the little details of what we're planning on doing, I just want to pray that if there's something that we have planned this morning that is not going to give you the honor you deserve, that you would hijack it and do what you want with the service this morning. I want to pray, Lord, that as people walk away today, that more than the songs and more than the play, that the message behind the week comes through. I want to pray that people would leave understanding your word better, understanding your love better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, please stand where you are. We're going to begin by worshiping the Lord this morning. You'll be able to follow the words right up on the screen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall then repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
I just want to say that as we were doing our VBS week, a lot of things touched my heart this week. We were going over the prodigal son. That was our theme. And it really hit me a lot. I've thought about this many times, but it just really hit me this week that Jesus doesn't want us, he doesn't expect us to be clean before we come to him. He wants us to just come the way we are. And sorry, I didn't expect myself. Didn't expect to cry. he takes us as we are. It doesn't matter if we feel dirty or if we feel that we're just not worthy of him, because we're not. But he makes us worthy because he died on that cross. And I just lift him up this morning. So just join us in singing At the Cross.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life.
His word, my hope.
the sun forbear to shine, but God has called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
You can go ahead and be seated. In a couple of minutes, we're going to be taking up our offering, and we are taking up our offering as we normally do. You know, we take up an offering every Sunday morning. But as a part of this offering also, we have been challenging our VBS students all week to collect money for a mission. Every year, we support a specific mission, and the mission that we chose this year, kind of with the idea of running away to the circus in mind, or with the idea of runaways in mind, is a ministry called Destiny Rescue. And what Destiny Rescue does is they work to free women and children from the human trafficking industry, if you will. What I explained to the kids throughout the course of the week is that we are very lucky, but not really lucky, lucky from the world's perspective, and we are very blessed with the fact that we are in a relatively safe country, and that many of us have safe and, you know, families that take care of us. I said sometimes there's people that end up in very dangerous situations that they can't get out of. And so what Destiny Rescue seeks to do is try and get those people out. They do three things. They rescue, they restore, and then they protect. And so what I told the kids is, first of all, they help these women and children get out of these situations, and then they help them get their life on track. And a big element of that is spiritually, you know, obviously, you know, physically and emotionally also, but spiritually getting their lives on track. And then they protect them, because sometimes these people come out of such dangerous situations that people come looking for them. And this ministry protects them to make sure that they don't end up in those dangerous situations again. And so throughout the course of the week, we challenged the children to bring in money, and each night they did. They ended up collecting throughout the course of the week a grand total of $229.62, which is quite a bit of money. Yeah, give them a round of applause. I told them that I would be challenging the church to match that. Now, unfortunately, due to some busy circumstances over the past week, I forgot to announce that to the church, which is not good. We did send out an email throughout the course of the week, but and then, of course, we do this every year, so it's my hope that you guys would know and remember. But that being said, along with our regular offering, there was also a challenge to the adults this morning to try and match the $229.62 that the children gave this week for Destiny Rescue. So if you're just giving towards the regular offering, just use your regular envelopes, or, you know, just throw the money on the plate. If you're giving specifically to the Vacation Bible School offering, there should be some envelopes in front of you in the pew. Just grab one of those envelopes, put the gift in there, mark it VBS, Vacation Bible School, Destiny Rescue, whatever you want to mark it as, and put it in the plate, and we'll make sure that that gets counted separately. And what we're going to do is, at the end of the service today, we're going to let you know how much was collected for Destiny Rescue, with a caveat, and that is this. Even though many of you aren't going to be here next week and may not know this, I am going to extend the offering also to next week, seeing as I did not announce it. So hopefully we match it today. But adults, if you want to give towards this and you don't have the money with you today, you can do so next week, and we will add it to the total. Why don't we ask the Lord's blessing on the offering, and then we will collect that. Lord, I want to thank you again for all that you've done this past week. I want to thank you for the work that you've done in the lives of the kids, the lives of the adults. I also want to thank you for the wonderful ways that you have blessed us. You have given us so much, and so much that is beyond what we deserve, because we really don't deserve any of it. And we hear about people in other situations, and you know, it's easy for us to pretend like these things don't exist, or to act like they don't affect us, because they don't actually personally affect us. But we know in reality that being that we are all made in your image, these people that are being hurt in these other situations, it does affect us. And we can show your love by reaching out to them. So I want to pray, Lord, as we take up this offering today, both the regular church offering and then also the VBS offering in the midst of it, I want to pray that all of these funds would be used to show your love to this world through the church and then also through Destiny Rescue. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, as the offering is being taken up, I want to invite Linda Lewis forward. Are we doing this right now, dear? All right. Okay, if someone could just crank the lights up back there. Linda Lewis has been our missions leader for as long as I remember VBS, and she has taught the kids a song. For our offertory, she is going to lead them in that song, so I'm going to turn things over to you, Linda. All right, you guys can go ahead and be seated. I believe that the offering has been collected, and so when it is all counted, we will get back to you and let you know how things came out. So with that, it is now time for the skit. Yes, excitement. So if you would, turn your eyes to the front. We are going to get that started. All right, at this time, those of you that are in the front seat, if you want, you can go back and find your parents. You can have a seat with them because I'm going to talk for a little bit. And based on how Bible rotation went, I know that could be distracting for a few of you. So if you would like to go and find your parents, that would be acceptable. So obviously, in case you didn't pick up on this throughout the course of the service so far, we talked about the prodigal son this year at Vacation Bible School. The prodigal son is a parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15. If you're not familiar with what a parable is a fictional story in which spiritual elements are represented. It's a story that is meant to teach us something spiritually. Within the parable of the prodigal son, we find three people. We find the father, we find the older son, and we find the younger son. The father in the prodigal son represents God. The younger son and the older son both represent us. Or, to put it a different way, they represent lives that we could choose to live in relation to God. This morning, I want to just look briefly at those two sons. And as we do, I want you to consider your life, and I want you to see if it lines up with either of these two sons. And if it does, make sure that you pay very close attention to what the father says to these sons, because that is God speaking directly to you. So let's start out with the first son. The first son is the younger son. I'm going to give you a really quick summary of what he did. The younger son, at the beginning of this passage, goes to the father and says, "Father, I want half of everything you have," which is not uncommon. When somebody would pass away and they would leave an inheritance, they would divide it among their children. Essentially, what he's doing is he's saying, "Father, I want my inheritance now. Give it to me now." And the father in this parable gives him half of everything he has. And so the son then goes and monetizes all of his assets and heads to a faraway land where the Bible says that he spent his money in wild or riotous living. Now, the Bible does not tell us why the younger son did this. It doesn't spell it out for us. But I think it's pretty obvious. The reason that the younger son did this was because he did not want to be in his father's house. There were things he wanted to do that he was not free to do in his father's house. Or to put it very frankly, he didn't like his father's rules, and he wanted the freedom to be able to do whatever he wanted to do. And so he did. He went to a land far away from his father. He did whatever he wanted to do, spent all of his money, made a bunch of friends, had a great time. And then, after all his money was spent, a famine came along. He had no money. There was a shortage of food, which means there was a shortage of everything. Work, a shortage of anything, really. And so this young son went looking for work, went looking for help. All his friends deserted him. He ended up living in a pig pen, feeding pigs, and being so hungry that he wanted to eat the food that the pigs had to eat, but he didn't even have that. What we see here is a progression that we very often go through. Many people go through this progression where they don't like God's rules, right? They don't like God's law. They don't like, you know, what God has laid forth as holiness and morality, and so they rebel against that. They say, God's not going to be in charge of me. I'm going to do what I want to do. And they go out into the world, and they have what we would call a sinful time. We might also call it a good time. And let's be honest, it is a good time. Anyone that would stand up here and tell you that sin is not fun is a liar, because it is. But the problem is it's only fun for a little while, and then come the consequences. The prodigal son, this younger son, faced the consequences of his actions when he ran out of money and was stuck starving in a pig pen. We might face different consequences, but understand that when this is my mouth not working after a week of nonstop talking. When we rebel against God and we go out there and think we're going to live a fun life of sin, there will inevitably be some kind of consequence. This is always the end. So I want you to look at the son's decision. We're going to read these verses. This begins in verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got, we'll get to the verse 20 in a few minutes. What we see here, this attitude that this younger son has, is what we call repentance. Repentance is an acknowledgement of wrongdoing and sorrow over that wrongdoing, and a desire to separate ourselves from that wrongdoing. And we see that in every sentence that he speaks. He talks about how he has sinned against his father, how he has sinned against God in heaven. That is a recognition of it. We also see elements of humility there, because he doesn't come back and say, hey, Pops, I messed up. No harm, no foul. I hope you left my room untouched. He says, I don't even deserve to be called a son anymore. I'm going to come back and just be a hired hand for my father. That is true repentance. Now, why is repentance important? Why does it matter? I told the kids a couple of stories from my childhood. I'm not going to tell these whole stories again because they took like 15 minutes. But to summarize them, I went to camp once with a bunch of boys. And while I was there, one boy who was supposedly my friend threw a rock at my head. No jokes about how that explains things, please. I don't want to deal with that today. Threw a rock at my head and burned me with a hot stick. And his response to doing those things was to laugh and tell everybody about it and make a big joke about it. Also the same year, but a different time, I was playing Nintendo and a friend of mine thought it would be funny to try and mess with me by taking a piece of twine and rubbing it across my eyes while I was playing. Which gave me a little bit of rope burn on my eyeballs. Don't think about that too hard. It hurts, okay? What the second friend did to me hurt a lot worse than the rock. and the hot stick. But his attitude afterwards was that he didn't realize that it was going to hurt. I mean, we were like 8 years old, and he was truly sorry that he did it. He was in tears, and he asked me to forgive him. And I did, because I could see that he was truly sorry for what he had done. I don't know how the story would have gone if this son had shown up and said, "No harm, no foul, give me my room back." But I can tell you how the story does go. He comes with a repentant heart, and look at how God responds. In verse 20, it says, "So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" You know, you see there the repentance? You see there the humility? Notice he doesn't even get to the last line where he says, "Can I be one of your servants?" He doesn't even get there, because the father cuts him off and says, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. You notice the father there, who represents God, greeted this repentant son with wide open arms. What does this mean for us? This is what it means. As many of the songs you heard the kids sing said, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you have been through. It doesn't matter what you have done. God is always there with arms wide open, waiting for you to come to him in repentance. Now, I want to be very clear about something, because we could twist this a little bit. I am not saying that it does not matter what you do. I'm not saying that you could say, "Hey, I'm going to go out and just do whatever I want, and God will just be sitting there tapping his foot waiting for me to come back." There's an attitude there. But what I am saying is that if you are at a place in your life where you are far from God because you have done some very bad things, and maybe you're at a place in your life where you want to come to God, you desire that, maybe you even have the repentance that this son had, but you feel like what you have done is so bad that God would never greet you, he would never welcome you. Maybe I've even heard people say that what they've done so bad, even the devil wouldn't want them. If you were there, I am telling you this morning that that is simply not true. If you come to God in humility with repentance, his arms are wide open. Now, some of you are shaking your head. You're saying, "Nobody really believes that God wouldn't want them." Yes, they do. I have met people. I have interacted with people. I have spoken with people that I have tried to convince that God loves them, and they don't want to hear it. God loves you. The memory verse for this past week was Romans 8, 38 and 39. And I got to give the kids a lot of credit. It is a long verse, and most of them memorized it word for word. And this is what it says: "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God loves you, and he is waiting there with arms wide open, and he can do so because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And Jesus died on the cross and his blood was shed. That paid the cost of that sin that you think God could never forgive. Because Jesus died on the cross, that sin can be forgiven, and God is waiting there with open arms if you will come to him in repentance and humility. That's what the first son means for us. I want to move on to the second son, because we have an assumption in our minds sometimes that there's only two ways to live your life. You either have a good relationship with God or you don't. You either do all the right things or do all the wrong things. And so there's a lot of people who would look at the prodigal son and say, "Hey, I've never done all that stuff. I've always gone to church. I've always prayed before meals. I've always read the Bible. I've always given, you know, a couple bucks in the plate when it goes by. I've always, maybe even served on a board in a church or helped on a big thing like Vacation Bible School. I've always done all this stuff, and therefore God and I must be good." I want to tell you that is not necessarily the case. What the second son illustrates to us is that it is possible to dutifully do everything that you're supposed to do in life and still not have a good relationship with God. I asked the kids this past week. I said, what does the law require your parents to do? And we started coming up with a list of things parents have to do for their kids by law. We said, well, parents have to feed their kids and give them water. That's something they have to do. They have to give them shelter. They have to give them clothing. They have to keep them safe. They have to make sure they get an education. I think I remember hearing recently that you have to have at least a mattress for your child. They can't sleep on the floor. You know, so there's all these things that parents have to do for their children. And then I asked the kids, I said, how many of you have parents that take you fun places and do fun things with you? And they all raised their hands. I said, do your parents have to do that stuff for you? And they said, no. I said, how many of you have parents that have bought you toys or fun things to do? And they all raised their hands. I said, do your parents have to do that for you? And they said, no. And then I really blew their mind with this one. I said, how many of you have parents that hug and kiss you every day? And they all raised their hands. The middle school group kind of raised their hands like this. They didn't really want to admit it, but they all raised their hands. And I said, do your parents have to do that? And some of them said, yeah. I said, no. There is no law that says that your parents have to hug and kiss you. I said, if your parents did all the things they had to do, and that was all they did, they gave you food, they gave you water, they gave you shelter, they did the bare minimum, would you feel like you had a good relationship with your parents? And every single child, with no exception, said no. Because when we do the bare minimum dutifully, that is not love. That is not a relationship. Actually, what that usually leads to is resentment. And that's what you can see in the words of the older son. If you look at verse 28, the second son, the older son, we find that as he was coming back to the house, he heard the party going on, and he said, what's going on in there? And when he found out his younger brother was back, he got angry. It says in verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. You can hear the anger, the resentment, the frustration in his voice. Now, he did all the right things. He did everything a good son should do. But he didn't do it with the right heart, and so there was still no relationship there. How do you fix that? How do you fix that? If you look at your life right now, and you recognize yourself in that older son, that second son, you say, you know what, I go to church every week. I do all the good churchy things I'm supposed to do. But there's no love. There's no heart. How do you fix that? Well, listen to what the father says. This is the answer. This is what you need to do. In verse 31, the father says, my son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. God is always with us as his children. And he has given us so much. And he has even more for us. And when we begin to focus on the presence of God in our lives and the wonderful things he has done for us, that changes a heart real quick. When we focus on everything that everybody else has and all the stuff God hasn't given us and how miserable our lives are and how angry we are at God for that stuff, when that's the stuff we focus on, then of course there's going to be no relationship. All right? But when you look at other people and you think God has given them stuff they don't deserve, remember, you don't deserve the things God has given you. Everything you have is a gift of God's grace. And he has so much more for you. And so when you take the time to focus on God's grace, on his love, on his mercy, on his forgiveness, on his presence in your life, and on the future and all eternity that you have with him and the precious gifts that he has for you, and those things become your focus, what it does is it softens your heart. And it makes it so that when you go to church, you're going there to worship God because you love him. And when you are giving an offering, you are not just obligatorily throwing money in a plate to pay bills. You are giving to God for his glory. And when you are praying before meals or praying whenever you pray, you are not going through a ritual. You are talking to a God who hears. And when you read the Bible, you are not just doing it because it's habit. You are hearing from a God who loves you. And I could keep going down the list. So what does this all come to? I got to wind it up because I've already talked long enough and it's warm in here. What does this come down to? Here's what it comes down to. My hope for all of you, my prayer for all of you, children, adults, is that you do not lead the life of the prodigal son and that you do not lead the life of the older son. My prayer is that you discover the love and forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ, that you give your life to him, that you lovingly grow in a relationship with him, and that you never have to walk either of these paths that we've looked at this morning. And God can do that. Now, some of you may have already walked one of these two paths. I already told you what you need to do about it if you have. But if you're not either of these people, you can praise God for that, and you can start to ask God to show himself to you more. Because the relationship that I'm encouraging you to have with God is the same relationship that he wants to have with you. And I believe that that is the message of the prodigal son. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. And then we got our missions announcement and a couple of other announcements before we get ready to wind things down here. And if you would, join me in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for this parable that you've told us. And I want to thank you for the message that comes with it. The message is that we can live our lives in a couple of different ways, in a few different ways. But without a strong relationship with you that was purchased for us by your son, Jesus Christ, there is no right way to live our lives. We can live poorly, doing bad things like the prodigal son. We can live well, doing good things like the older son. But neither of those equal a relationship with you. That you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to pay the cost of our sins, to open the door for us to have a relationship with you. And then you stand there with arms open wide. I want to pray, Lord, if there's anybody in here this morning who is like the prodigal son, who has walked that path and is facing the consequences of their sin, or maybe they know they're on that path. Maybe they know they're in rebellion against you and the things that you would call them to. I want to pray that they would not allow that sin and that fear of rejection to keep them away from you, but that they would come to you in repentance, that they would receive your son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, and that you would welcome them with open arms. I also want to pray if there's anybody here who sees themselves in that older son, and they know they've been trying to do the right things and do good things, but there is no relationship with you, nothing that affects their lives beyond an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. I want to pray, Lord, that they would also repent of that, that they would see your love, that they would see all you have done, and that that would be enough for them, and that they would pursue that relationship with you. And for each person, Lord, I just want to pray that as the years go by, they will grow stronger in their relationship with you and be able to look back and see how you have changed them and what you have done in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, folks. We're almost done. We do have to talk about missions, though. So I had told you that the kids collected $229.62. We're going to do a little bit of VBS stuff here, all right? So you adults, I apologize. You're just going to have to deal with this for a minute, all right? VBS kids, $229.62. How many of you think that the church collected enough to match that? Oh, that's pathetic. I know there's not as many here this morning as there were, but come on, shout it out. How many of you think that the church collected enough to match it? Yeah. All right, now that would be $229.62. How many of you think the church collected enough to go more than what you guys gave? Yeah. All right, what would double be on that? What would double be, like $460-ish? How many of you think they collected $460? All right, well, they didn't get $460. This morning's offering for Destiny Rescue was $742.10. Or $743, whichever one. Not sure, I got a two. And I didn't do the math. I don't know if we even did the math. We did. Grand total of $972.72. Praise God for that. That puts us almost, I'm going to tell you this, and I didn't get into numbers because I didn't want to discourage anyone, but if I remember correctly, it costs about $1,500 for them to rescue one person, and that puts us almost two-thirds of the way to rescuing somebody, and that is awesome. So keep whoever that person is, keep them in prayer as we continue forward. All right, a couple of closing announcements. I want to thank again everybody who was involved in any way in Vacation Bible School, those of you that worked in it, those of you that came to it, everybody, if you would just give all the workers a round of applause. They worked so hard this week. Could not bring it together without everybody involved. I also have another announcement. I hope that you will stay with us after. We do have food. We got a big tent set up out back. Ben Oles has been out there cooking, and if you've ever eaten Ben Oles food, you know that you want to stay and have lunch, okay? We also are going to have a bounce house. We're going to have face painting, balloon animals, all right, so you can hang out and do that. We also have in a little bit the Toy Vault opening up. Now, I do have an announcement about the Toy Vault, okay? Listen, because you kids are going to want to hear this. You need to know this. So those of you that know what goes on behind the scenes in Vacation Bible School, we did not have a leaders meeting this year. And the reason that we didn't is because we usually do it the Thursday before Vacation Bible School, which if you remember back to that Thursday was the 4th of July. We also had other things going on that week, and we've been doing Vacation Bible School the same way so long that we said, you know what, here's a packet, guys, read it. We're going to skip the leaders meeting. Now, because we did not do the leaders meeting, there was some lack of communication on how tickets were supposed to be given out. And the result of that is that some kids had like 300 plus tickets and other kids had like 12 tickets. And we didn't feel like that was right, okay? Now, I understand that some kids worked harder on their verses, some kids invited friends, stuff like that. But with such a huge disparity, we didn't feel like that was right. So we kind of balanced it out a little bit this year. We kind of, you know, 300's a lot of tickets, 12 is not much. So we kind of tried to even the playing field a little bit and kind of bring it down to more even numbers. That being said, if anyone's frustrated by that, I apologize. It's my fault for the lack of communication. But I would also say this. If there was ever a Vacation Bible School that was about mercy, it's this one. And I think this is a situation where mercy is due. So that way, if you get there and you thought you were supposed to have 300 tickets and you have less, that's why. If you thought you were supposed to have like 2 tickets and you have more, that's why. All right? So that is that announcement. And then, let's see, before I close in prayer, Tom, you said you had an announcement that you wanted to make. I'm going to invite Tom forward. He's got an announcement also. You may.
Good morning, church. As you probably all know by now, Pastor Josh has been called to another ministry in Maryland. He'll be with us one more Sunday. That'd be next Sunday. And so as a way of showing our appreciation, our love for the Vogt family, the elders have decided to have just a small get-together after next Sunday's service in the hospitality room. So we hope that you can all be there just as a way to say goodbye and that we love you and we're going to miss you. But Godspeed. All right, so if you can be there, there's a sign-up sheet out here. It's just a makeshift one. I just put it together now, and one in that end, too. If you can sign up there, it'll help the elders to know what how much food we need to get. We're just talking something like pizza and wings or something like that. So if you would sign up there, and please be there if you can. We would surely appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Elder Board. And you guys know me very well because pizza and chicken wings is, as far as I'm concerned, that is filet mignon. So I'll be looking forward to that. I will be there, and I would love for all of you to come out also so we can have that time together. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and then, again, if you go right through this door into the gym, out back is where the tent is. And actually, I think out back is where everything is except the Toy Vault this year. Kids, I think the tickets are out, but do not go to the Toy Vault until there's adults there that are ready to open it. Leave your tickets there. Yes. Okay, so give it about 10 minutes on the Toy Vault, all right, kids? All right, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you again for everything this year, guys. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for what you have done in this Vacation Bible School. I know that we put a lot of labor into it, but we also know that if it's just our labor, then it's in vain. We need you laboring with us, and I believe that you did this year. I want to thank you for how you brought it together and how you showed yourself through the lessons, the songs, and each section of Vacation Bible School. I want to pray now as we get ready to relax and celebrate and enjoy another Vacation Bible School done. I just want to pray that you would bless our picnic, bless the time together, bless the food, bless the toy vault, and just everything that we're going to do. I pray that your hand would be a hand of blessing over it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed.